Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. If you haven't already, please take the friendship register and pass it down the pew so that we can have a record of your attendance. I have four announcements this morning. The Women of the Church birthday offering luncheon is tomorrow at 11:30, and there will be no evening circle meeting. So if you're an evening circle person, come to the daytime circle if you can, and if not, we'll see you next time. The diaconate is going to have their spring and summer clothing drive on May 19th for the lunch ministry guests. Bring your gently used clothes to the stage in the fellowship hall by Wednesday the 16th. Tickets for the Low Country Boil that's happening also on the 16th will be on sale in the juice room after church and in the church office until Sunday the 13th. It's $8 per person. And finally, this is the first Sunday of the month, and there is cake in the juice room, and apparently no one's eaten any so far, so please eat some cake. And now let's prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Join me in the responsive call to worship. We come together to worship our loving God. We come to gain an understanding of our relationship with God. We come to celebrate our Lord, who calls us into relationship with himself and each other. We come to worship God, who calls us to enter into his joyful community. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please be seated. Every morning I turn on the Daily Audio Bible, and every Sunday morning, Brian Harden, who's the host, says, you know, it's Sunday, it's the start of a bright, shiny, sparkly new week. And he points out that it's a week to start over, a week we haven't lived yet. So as we face this bright, shiny, sparkly new week, let's start by leaving our sins and failings behind us. I invite you to pray with me the unison prayer of confession, and then in silence offer to God what lies hidden in your hearts. Let us pray. Loving God, you are love and have shown us what love is. Through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, we have a visible image of what it means to love. You call us to love each other in the same way, yet we too often do not love each other. Forgive us, have patience on us, and continue to show us what it means to be in a relationship with you and with each other. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, God calls us into a relationship with himself and each other. He defines this relationship through love. Therefore, accept the love and forgiveness of God given through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, believe in the good news of the gospel. The children can come forward. How y'all doing?
Good.
You the only ones? Ooh, lonely. Okay, hold that for a second.
Yeah.
You guys know what this is?
A heart.
It's a heart.
But yeah. It's not really what your heart looks like.
You're right. Well, today we're going to hear a sermon from John 15, and in it, Jesus talks about kind of a new rule, a new command. And instead of like, you better clean your room, or you better eat your vegetables, or you better not lie, he says, here's the most important commandment, that you love one another. Now, if you love one another, if your parents tell you to eat your vegetables, you probably will, right? So the challenge is to say, not just to say, I love you, because that's important to say, I love you, but also to do things that show that you actually love somebody. And so that's the reason that I made these. You guys can, I know you can both write, because you're, I know. You never know around here. That's the problem. So hold it. I want you in the coming week to think about the different ways that you can show somebody that you love them. Telling them is one way, but also think about the ways that you can actually show someone that you love them and write it down and think about doing them, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus who showed us your heart of love toward us, and we pray that you would put that same heart in us, that we would love one another in word and in action, and we would also show you that we love you in words and in actions. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join with me in the unison prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to put aside our preconceived notions of what a relationship with you is. Open our minds to understand what it means to abide in you. Send your Spirit to illuminate your words so that each of us may grow in love and bear more fruit in your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Sound okay? Are we good? Good. Choir, thank you very much. That was very, very nice. Great solo, too, by the way. Nicely done. Let me pray one more time before we continue. Gracious God, Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your word who I pray that you would speak through me this morning. Pray to open up all of our hearts to receive your message for each of us today. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Question to start with. Who here has ever been in a relationship with another human being? We can raise hands. We're allowed to do that. Very good. I think we've all been in relationships with other people. In life, we have a lot of different relationships. And these relationships have a tendency to change as time goes on. For example, my relationship with my father. Me and my father are very, very close. I've been blessed with a great relationship with my dad. But it's definitely changed over time. It's gone from what I would call a student-teacher role, as well as a servant-master sort of a role, into a friendship role. When me and my brother were growing up, my father told us repeatedly that the reason that he had boys is so that he did not have to cut the grass. So I was very much of a servant master sort of a role for some of our upbringing. That's how life was. But throughout time, our relationship has changed. And now we are more of friends than we are servant master or teacher student. Same way, if you've ever had a teacher or if you've ever been a student, those relationships change as relationships develop. Or with significant others, the relationships change over time. And any of these, it's important. Has anybody here ever had what's called a DTR? Does anybody know what a DTR is? I know my wife has. Some people have. A DTR is a defining the relationship conversation. These can be very, very awkward if you are with a significant other and you're in the dating phase and you need to sit down and spell out what does our relationship mean. It can be very awkward, especially when you're younger. But it's important to know the intentions of the other person and what their wishes are in life and in that relationship. Because in any relationship that we have, we should or must take the other people's wishes seriously. As in with the teacher-student relationship, again, different teachers teach differently, and we should know what their expectations are. In a relationship with a significant other, we should take their wishes seriously. That does not mean that we have to enjoy everything that they take seriously, but we should take what they take seriously, seriously. I am not good at this. A lot of things that my wife takes seriously, I have a tendency to joke about, and she understandably gets mad about it. She is much better at this, and she's much more graceful and understanding. I take bagpiping seriously, and my wife takes my bagpiping at least fairly seriously, or at least tolerates it. So she is much better at this than I am. But in all of this, it's important to be able to define what our relationship is. And I believe that in our passage for today in John, is Jesus having a DTR, it is Jesus having a defining the relationship conversation with his disciples. This passage takes place during the Last Supper, where Jesus has just finished washing the feet of his disciples, showing them how specifically, concretely, they are supposed to care for each other. And then, like a significant other going on a long trip, Jesus is passing on his final words, really laying out and defining his relationship with them, defining his relationship with his disciples, his followers, and thus really defining the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. This is coming from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Now, one word is very, very important in this passage, and that word is to abide. The word abide is used three times in the first three verses. In the Greek, it's the word meno. I always love the Greek language. And it's a verb. As a verb, as an action word, it means to wait and to stay and to remain in. This one word occurs 118 times in the New Testament. 40 of these are in the Gospel of John. So if you have any math experience, that's about a third of the times that this word is used in the New Testament John uses. So therefore, it's an important concept to look at. It's obviously important to John, and it's important to Jesus because he's the one quoting it each time. So it should be important to us. With God and Jesus, this abiding, this relationship really means Jesus abiding, dwelling, waiting with, sitting with the Father. It's a demonstration of that super close relationship between a parent and a child. This very special, enduring relationship. And this is even more so with Jesus and God. In Christian doctrine, we talk about the very, very confusing concept of three in one and one in three, how we have one God with three different entities. The only way that I could ever explain this is with water. There's the water that we drink, H2O. If we freeze water, it becomes ice. Good, thank you. So it becomes ice. It's still H2O. If we boil water, it evaporates and then condenses and comes back down as water. It is all still water. That is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the same makeup. They are just in different forms, or we see them in different ways. That is how close the Father and the Son and the Spirit are, is that they are the same makeup. This is the very special, very deep connection that the Father and Son, Jesus Christ and Father God, have together. They are connected in a very special way. So since they remain in one another, since they are the same, so then the work of Jesus is the work of God the Father. Just as a son, in contrast to a servant, as John puts it, continues in his Father's house forever. It's not a limited time. Though my relationship with my Father has changed, it is still ongoing. With Jesus and God, it's a continual oneness. As the Father abides and remains in the Son, we too are supposed to abide and remain in Jesus Christ. So just as Jesus is connected to the Father, we are supposed to be connected to Jesus Christ. Now, this is hard to fathom, that we humans can be as connected to Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ is to the Father, but this is the analogy that John is drawing out. This is the meaning of the vine and the branches that I believe you talked about last week. It's really an intimate relationship. This is not a distant relationship. This is not a once per week, let's just meet up on Sundays sort of a connection that we are supposed to have with Jesus Christ. This is an ongoing, intimate relationship. This is the relationship that Jesus wants with each and every one of us. Jesus invites us into an abiding love of him. That is him defining our relationship. Jesus is redefining his relationship with his disciples and thus with us, and thus our relationship with the Father. It is not a distant relationship. It's not one of those, let's hope we stay together through Facebook sort of a relationship. This is a committed, sure, loving relationship. So since we're supposed to take each other seriously in any relationship, we should take people, the significant other's wishes seriously, like my loving, sweet, patient wife who takes my bagpiping very seriously. So Jesus spells out what is important to him in this relationship. He calls them commandments. He says they are friends if they do what he commands. If we follow his wishes, then we will remain in a relationship with him. He says the disciples are no longer slaves because they know what he is doing. So therefore we know what God is doing, and that is to love one another. In the same way that Jesus loved his disciples, as Jesus loves us, that we take our relationship seriously, that we take what Jesus Christ did for us seriously, the way that he touched people with leprosy, the way that he washed the feet of his disciples, and he ultimately died a horrible, horrible death for each and every one of us. Those are our concrete images of what love is, of what the wishes of God are. God wishes that we love one another in the same way. The defining of the relationship has changed. The disciples come to Jesus as sinners. Then they turn into servants and students. And then they transition into friends. And all of this is through sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of the Gospels and throughout the Gospels, it is Jesus who calls the disciples. It is Jesus who calls the fishermen away from their family business to follow him. It is Jesus who calls Levi away from his tax booth to follow him. It is Jesus who initiates the relationship with them and with us. It is Jesus who calls and we answer. And this relationship is unending. It is abiding. There are changes in the definition of the relationship. As the disciples go from disciples, those following, to apostles, who are those sent, they go from sinners called by God to servants and students, like me in my servant role with my Father, to students, and then finally to friends. So Jesus is the one who calls. Jesus is the one who sets the stipulations and defines this relationship. This is the relationship that we enter into when we enter into a relationship with Jesus. We learn from him. We serve him. But we are more than servants. We are in a deep, intimate, abiding friendship relationship with Jesus Christ. We are no longer slaves, but we are friends. We don't know all that God does because that is impossible for us. But we do know the effects of God, and that is love. It is the power to forgive. It is acceptance. It is love that makes the unlovable person lovable. God chose us, not the other way around, and he chose us to be friends. We are the objects of his affection, and he is the subject of our respect. And we are both subject to undergo passion and pain of love. And friends, what makes this a real relationship is that we get to pick what relationship we are in. We get to pick who we serve, which makes it a real relationship. Jesus defines the relationship with him in love. But as Paul puts it in Romans 6:16, we can choose who we serve. Paul says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." We are in a relationship with something. We are bound to something. We are abiding in something. We can abide in sin and our own selfish desires. Or we can abide in love of God and love of other people. It is our choice which relationship we enter into. If we choose to be in a relationship with Christ, then love is the one stipulation that Christ has for us. It is to love one another. We stay in this relationship by bearing fruit. Abiding in love becomes a reality in actions, in bearing of continual fruit, which becomes visible in unbounded love of each other. We are to bear fruit by loving one another. Because we cannot see God, but according to John, God is love. We cannot see love, so we must see concrete representations of what love is. Jesus represented what love is by offering himself up. He touched people with leprosy. He washed the feet of his disciples. These are concrete visual signs of what love is. And God calls us to do the same with each other. This is his one stipulation, his desire for the relationship that we are to take seriously. Hopefully more seriously than my wife takes my bagpiping. As Jesus gave us concrete visual signs of what it means to remain in this relationship, we are to demonstrate concrete love in physical ways for each other. So in a world full of pain and anger and broken relationships, we should all take a serious look at the relationship that God calls us into through Jesus Christ. He defines his relationship with the Father, his relationship with us, and our relationship with each other with one word, and that is love. In that love is a verb, we are to do physical, concrete things that demonstrate love and care and compassion. Imagine what the world would be like if we all defined our relationships on love. This is how the joy of God is made complete. It is fulfilled. It is what God wants. It is how life is supposed to be if we love one another.
by showing the love of laying down our lives for our friends. So let us all strive to remain, to abide, to wait in a relationship with God. Just as Jesus is in a concrete, deep, intimate relationship with the Father, let us enter into and stay in a relationship with Christ. In that there is one primary stipulation, one desire of God, and that is to love God and to love our neighbor. So let us lay down our lives for one another, set aside our pride and our emotions in order to serve one another. This is the definition that God gives for his relationship with us. And this is the definition of the relationship that we should have with one another. Let's pray together. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you that you have given us concrete, physical ways to demonstrate what love is and how we are supposed to love one another. I pray that we would go out into the world and try to love one another in the same way. Lord, we thank you that you've had a defining the relationship conversation with us where we can understand what your wishes are and we should take them seriously. Help us just go out and produce fruit in the world. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Now please join me and stand as you are able in our affirmation of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you are able to sing our hymn of worship number 527. Please be seated. May our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings.
Music while we're collecting money. I appreciate that. So let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, thank you for the gifts that have been given. Lord, you have given us so much, so many blessings than we could ever even imagine. So we thank you for the opportunity to return a portion of that back to you. Lord, I pray you'd use these gifts to multiply them to further your work in this kingdom that is yours. And Lord, I pray that for all the prayers that are said and unsaid, that you would lift them up. Lord, every time we look around us, it seems like we see more and more pain and more division. We pray that you would just encourage us, let us know that you are sovereign, that you are in charge, and that you are enabling us to go out and bring love and fruit into the world. And now help us all to pray in the words your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Now please sing with us our hymn of worship number 372, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Friends, so I ask us all to take seriously the defining of the relationship that Jesus has given us, that he loves us through love, that the Father loves us through love, and therefore we are supposed to go out and love one another by laying down our lives for our friends, and all the other commands, I think, will fall into place. And now may the grace and peace and love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us until we meet again. Amen.